Well, it is Super Sunday by way of applause, and it's okay. By way of applause, how many believe the Denver Broncos are going to pull it off today? How many believe the Carolina Panthers are taking it? Well, now we know who needs prayer today, don't we? I think the kickoff is 6 or 6:30. We'll try to let you out in time. That is if we don't get snowed in. I know many of you were praying for snow last night, and the plan was not to come to church. We're praying now that we do get a massive snowstorm while we're here, and we won't be able to leave church. So it's a joy to have Chip and Colleen Judd with us. We've known them for many years, conferenced together down through the years, always appreciated their friendship and their ministry. Their calling is unique, and they're the best at what they do. Many years ago, they planted a church in Georgetown, Victory Fellowship. Still to this day, it's a great church in that city. Rod Reed is the senior pastor now. And for the last 4 years, Chip and Colleen have called Charleston their home. Chip is on the pastor's staff at one of the great churches in our nation. I'm sure you've heard of it, Seacoast Church. This weekend and every weekend, they have more than 15,000 people attend their services. So we've got some growing to do. But in addition to all of that, they are mentors, they are counselors, their forte is relationships. They can unscramble eggs if you've got a mess in a relationship. And they always bring their A game when they come to us. They're among our favorites here, and you will not be disappointed. How many are ready to hear God say something you've never heard before? Would you welcome Chip Judd as he comes?
Is that good? Are we on? On? Hello? Hello. Is that working?
Yeah.
Say something. All right. How y'all doing this morning? How many of you really wanted snow so you could cut church? Raise your hand now. Come on. A couple of brave souls raised their hand, Carl. Man, I didn't because I'm here, but if I wasn't here, I might have been in that right there with you. Let me say something here. How many of you are okay if I give you a challenging word this morning? Say yes if you're okay if I give you a challenging word. All right. Now, the little who's going to win tonight applause thing, it almost made me change my message. But no, I'm a little torn. I love Peyton Manning and love to see him end well, but doesn't necessarily have to be at the Panthers' expense. So we'll see how, whatever. It should be fun. I just hope it's not a blowout like a couple years ago. But I do want to talk to you about something. We haven't even really talked much about this, but the last couple of years have been, in some ways, some of the hardest years my wife and I have ever had. And basically, you're looking at why. I travel and do what I do, and as Pastor said, Colleen and I planted the church in Georgetown, and it was while we were there that I started traveling and working with other churches. And how I got into the Seacoast and why I'm now on staff is they were one of the churches that I went into and did some counseling and consulting and whatever. And then they asked me to come on staff. Well, that was 4 years ago, a little bit over 4 years ago. And we had an arrangement that I could continue to travel a smaller amount, but I could still do some of what I was doing when they hired me. And so I did. And here I was. My church in Georgetown was, you know, I think we could probably say we had around 200 or two and a quarter that would say that was their church. Now I'm on staff at a church that at that time probably had 12,000 people. Now, how many of you would agree that's a fairly large church? How many of you would agree that's like a small city? I mean, Georgetown, where we pastored, the city only had 10,000 people. So here's the deal. I came into a situation with, I call it a target-rich environment. In other words, there was never a moment that you couldn't see at least 10 different things or 10 different people that you could work on and it would be worthwhile. Does that make sense? So, and I was traveling. And how many of you ever ignored a warning from the Lord? How many of you ever have ignored a warning from the Lord? So, you know, I'm just chugging along, doing the Seacoast thing and still traveling. And to be honest with you, I love what I do. I mean, I am so honored that I get into what I call the guts and glory of people's lives. And I get to see God do some amazing things. And I was just cruising along, just having a blast, and just whatever. And somewhere in that first 2 years, I would say in that second year, there were things I should have noticed and I should have listened to. You know, my wife and I, Pastor Carol asked us, I think it was this morning, if we still do our Fridays at Barnes & Noble, because that was kind of my wife and my thing. We would just go hang out at Barnes & Noble and drink coffee and read and talk and whatever. And so during this time I'm referring to, about 2 years into Seacoast, my wife might have said something like, you know what, dude, you just don't shut off anymore. You don't really stop. And like I said, all these are little warnings. I started to notice that. She would occasionally say, because I'm not this way by nature. And she would just occasionally, you know, say, do you realize you've kind of gotten a little snappy? You've gotten short with people. And I was like, And the truth is I had noticed it, but I wasn't going to tell her that. So I'm cruising along, and I'm getting ready to speak at Seacoast. I mean, as you can imagine, speaking to 12,000 people is kind of a big deal. And we do this thing on Thursday where you we'd call it message run through, and you literally get in a sanctuary that seats 1,400 people, and you preach your message. You don't say, "Oh, I'm going to talk about this, this, and this." You actually preach your message, and there's about 6 to 10 people, most of them part of the teaching team, that are there to critique your message and help tweak it for the weekend. Say yes if you think you'd like that. It's we call it waterboarding. I mean, it's awful. It's awful. And so I get up to do my run through on the Thursday, and halfway through it, I realize it just sucked. It was awful. I mean, how many of you know if you're not even engaged with your message, nobody else is going to be? It was awful. But I had to finish it so that they could intelligently help me fix it. Does that make sense? So I had to just keep going, so I did. And as soon as I finished, I said, okay, before anybody says anything, I know that's terrible. I know it's got to be fixed. So whatever, just to not bore you with all the details. So I go home that afternoon knowing I basically got to rework my whole message for the weekend. And, you know, whatever, I've been doing this 30 years. Whatever, no big deal. Now remember what I've been telling you leading up to this. Next thing I know, I just fell apart. I'm talking crash and burn. Uncontrollably weeping. I fell apart. Anybody want to throw a stab at what I was having? I was having an anxiety attack, whether it was a pure panic attack or not, I don't know. But I was having a physiological system shutdown moment. I wasn't really fearful about preaching. It had just... Here, you got to hear this now. I had just, over a 2 to 5 year span, I had just kept the gas pedal down too far for too long. Say yes if that makes sense. I'm telling you all this because of what I want to talk to you about today. The short of it is, crash and burn. I mean, it was not pretty. Now, I got through the weekend because what I did was I took that and made it my message. And I talked about chasing sunshine. And I talked about emotions and all that stuff. And actually, it came off really, really well. But I wish I could tell you that was a good enough warning. And the truth is, it wasn't. I just kept going. How many think that's pretty stupid? Say, that's pretty stupid. So I just kept charging. That was, I don't know what part of the year that was, but the next spring, same symptoms are still, I'm still noticing weird things. And then this spring, I don't remember all the details of what was going on, but the bottom line is I had a crash again, and it was worse than the first one. And the bottom line is, and I'm just telling you this, so if you're one of these people who feel like this is necessary, I want you to feel okay. I went to a doctor, we talked about it, and we determined it was purely physiological. What does that mean? I had just fried my adrenaline system. Say yes if that makes any sense. And what that does to you is it's you've got this little meter in your brain that kind of registers when you feel safe and when you feel in danger. When you feel safe and when you feel in danger. Well, adrenaline responds when we feel we're in what? Danger. So what happens when you fry your adrenaline system is that we're in danger gets stuck in the on position. And everything feels like a crisis. Hey, did you take the trash out? Oh my God, did I take the trash out? What day is today? Oh my goodness. Did you call so-and-so? Oh my gosh, I forgot to call so-and-so. And your system reacts way beyond what it should. Can anybody say yes?
Yes.
So, bottom line is, I want a medication. I want a medication to calm my system down and replenish the chemicals. Now, why am I telling you that? Because I would dare say there's probably people in this very room that are taking medication prescribed by a doctor for some emotional issue. And I would want you to know that I get it. It's okay. And if anybody else doesn't, just pull their hair and poke them in the eye. Now, can medicine be abused? Of course it can. Can doctors overprescribe and blah, blah, blah? Yes. Can they give medicine when really the issue is something else? Of course. But there are times when that's the issue. Now, I did some other things. And one of them was I had to cancel traveling for a while. And it was hard. I had probably the biggest trip I have ever had in my ministry. And I had to cancel it. I mean, just a lot of crazy stuff. But I knew that I had crossed a line that if I did not make some changes, I was never going to get back across that line. I love the things God has taught me. I love the way he's taught me to live. I love the incredible sense of, Pastor Carl made some references to it in his prayer, just the amazing ability, privilege of living in the conscious awareness of his presence and love. And during these crashes, that was all gone. And that's what I miss more than anything. Now, it's back and I'm good. But it was rough. Here's what I want to ask you to go where I want to take you today. How many of you feel like you spend a lot of your life's energy fighting things, putting out fires, and maybe even to the point that you just kind of feel tired, beat up, and kind of visionless? Say yes if there's anybody in the room.
Yes.
All right. Like I told you, Nana, this morning's going to be a little bit challenging, okay? And I want to help you. Part of what started to pull me out of this was, lots of things. I mean, the bottom line is, let me just say this real quickly. What got me where I ended up was that I was so busy doing the stuff that I was called to do that I stopped doing the stuff that got me there. I stopped doing some of the things we're going to talk about today. And How many of you know the enemy's real? How many of you know you live your entire spiritual life with a headwind in your face? Now, I'm going to say that again. You live your entire spiritual life with a headwind in your face. Right? And Galatians talks about that flesh wars against spirit and spirit wars against the flesh. Not only do you have a headwind in your face, you have a big old heavy weight you're dragging inside of you. Say yes if you know what I'm talking about. You have the enemy fighting you out here, and you have your flesh fighting you in here. And the minute you turn toward God or some activity that's going to take you closer to God, you feel this pull to not go there. Am I talking to the right people?
Yes.
Now, part of what I want to say to you is this. When you find that a lot of your life's energy is spent putting out fires, And this is going on, so I got to pray through that. This is going on, so I got to pray through that. My kid's going through this, so I got to pray through that. My money's going through this, so I got to pray through that. Kind of a firefighting spirituality. You follow me? Kind of a fire. Here's one of the casualties. You end up living your life looking down at what's in front of you. You end up living your life looking down at this problem in one of your kids' life, this problem in your finances, this problem in your work situation. And you end up living your life with your head tilted down. I love when God came to Abram. I think he wasn't even Abraham yet. He was Abram. And God said this to Abram. Go outside the tent. And here's what he said. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes from the place where you now are. Here's the thing that drives me crazy about how the devil works. He will get you so busy fighting fires that you can't light any fires. You're so busy fighting, you can't light them. Lift up your eyes. Here's the thing, folks. The fires aren't going to stop. How many of you know there's never going to be a shortage of things on your prayer list? There's never going to be a shortage of things on your prayer list. But here's the problem. Fighting defensively. Here's what they say about football. Offense is when you score touchdowns. Offense sells tickets. Defense wins championships. Now here's what they mean. Offense is exciting. It's cool to see progress. Moving the ball, big plays, it's awesome. Everybody gets excited. Defense is just kind of like, if a defense is really good, nothing's happening because the other team can't do anything. Now, here's the problem. If your life is caught up firefighting, you're living your life in defense. And you know what? Your heart's not made for that. Your heart's not made to just fight, to hold ground. Your heart was made to take ground, to make progress, to push places you've never been before. How many of you remember Jesus saying, "It is finished," when he hung on the cross? Just weird way to say something, but I felt like the Lord dropped this in my spirit as we were worshiping. Jesus said as he hung on the cross, "It is finished." How many of you thank God all of us can take that in, that what Jesus came to do is finished? Here's the deal. It is finished. You are not. I wish I could walk around to every single one of you. Like I teased them about last night, I'm not 30 anymore. 35, but I'm just not 30 anymore. You know, one of the things I'm the most grateful to God for? I'm still hungry. I'm still antsy. I still want to start fires. I still want to aggravate people. I still want to poke the devil. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not going to call you out, but some of you think it's okay to take a break. You can, as soon as we throw dirt on you. Until we throw dirt on you, you better shut up and get up, and you better show up for work. Now, why am I saying it to you like that? Because the life you think and say you want is on the other side of that hill. It's on the other side of that hill. I love, how many of you know Scripture preaches good? Yeah. You know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life. Oh, praise God, we got abundant life. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you kind of have to pretend? You kind of have to pretend. I hope you know I love you. I thought about what I'm getting ready to say today, and I thought, you know, I mean, these people hadn't seen me in a couple years. Here's the deal. You're not finished yet. You know what? This church isn't finished yet. Florence needs you. Florence needs you. And there's certain things you need to do, and they were part of my kind of recovery process. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Y'all still here? This side didn't say anything over here. Y'all, have y'all quit on me over here? I'm just teasing. I did hear a lot of yes and over here. I was like, is this ear not working? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. How many of you really want to be part of God doing something amazing? We're going to talk about the one thing that is the absolute key. If you really want to be a part of something amazing God's doing, we're going to talk today about the one thing you've got to wrestle with and do. You've got to, as individuals and as a congregation, you've got to figure this out. All right, look at Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region, what do we go to, 1 o'clock? No, I'll tell you, my wife and I are big football fans. We're going to get you out of here because we got to get back to Charleston. Watch the game, baby, and eat some terribly unhealthy food. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea, however you say it, Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am." So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." In other words, Jesus asked the question, and people gave the answers the best they could figure out. Kind of whatever. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" How many think that's a pretty good question? How many of you know every human being on earth needs to figure out their answer to that question? So Simon, who's always kind of impulsive, he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, to you and I now, we're so used to reading that, we cannot comprehend what that sounded like to the ears of an Israelite in that day and time. He was saying, "You are the long-awaited Messiah. You're it." All their hopes hung on the Messiah. And Peter was saying, "This dude standing in front of me is it." It was a really, really, really big deal. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you." How many of you know you're blessed when you see stuff God shows you? "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." What does that mean? That means you didn't figure this out. You didn't do some math equations and come up with how the universe started or whatever. You didn't figure this out and nobody else kind of told you whatever. "But my Father who's in heaven." And this is where we get the thought of what we would call revelation knowledge. In other words, there's things you cannot know unless the Holy Spirit shows you. You just can't. And I love that theme because the Holy Spirit wants to show us a whole lot more than we currently are seeing. Verse 18, and Jesus goes on and says, "And I also say to you that you're Peter," and you've probably heard this before, but Peter means a small rock. "You are Peter, a small rock. And on this rock, different word, it's a variation of the same word, but Peter is a small rock. Now he says, on this rock, big rock, I will build my church. Now, what do I think he meant? I think he meant the profession of Jesus as the Messiah, our Savior and Lord. So what is he saying? He's saying, Peter, you're a small little rock, but on the rock of what you just said, on the revelation of what you just said, I'm going to build my church. They had no clue what he was talking about. But that's not really what we're here to talk about. And then he went on and said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Here he is revealing this amazingly delightful thought. And he immediately says, and it's going to happen in the midst of conflict. It's going to happen in an arena where it's going to be opposed. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he says this, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Let's look at that a little bit more. I will give you the keys. These are not my keys. I hate carrying keys. I carry one key in my pocket. One. This is your pastor's wife's keys with a big old heart and all kinds of little saving things. But here's the deal. You got to get this now. Here's Jesus. How many of you believe all authority and power was given to him? All. Say all. All authority and power was given to him. All of it. All of it. How many of you would agree that a key is representative of authority and power? A key gives you access to things that everybody doesn't have access to. So here's what Jesus said. I'm going to give you the keys. Here's what he's saying. I'm leaving, but there's work that needs to continue. I'm going to give you the keys. Say this with me. He gave me the keys. Say this. He gave us the keys. Now, here's what gets scary. Every one of you is walking around with a bunch of keys. What are the keys to? It says here, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to give you the keys that bind things. Here's what he means. The Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the next sentence? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I wonder what the kingdom would look like. He just told you. The kingdom of God come, colon, your will be done where? On earth as in heaven. I'm going to give you the keys. I'm going to give you. How many of you are kind of like, dude, Jesus, whoa. Hold up now. Do y'all mind if I mess with your heads a little bit? Can I tell you a phrase that I hate? Can I tell you a phrase that we Christians throw around in so sloppy a fashion that I have to bite my tongue when I hear it? Because we just throw it around so casually. Well, brother, that's terrible that happened, but you know, God's in control. Well, brother, you know, I hate you're going through that, but you know, God's in control. I'm going to give you the keys. I'm going to give you the keys. How dare you act like I'm still holding them? How dare you act like I'm still holding them? Forgive me for having to be rough with you, but listen to me. There are things that God wants to happen in your community, in your life, in your family, in your finances. There are things that God wants to happen that will not happen if you don't ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. There are things that will happen that He does not want to happen. Because we didn't stand at our post. Dude, you really believe that? God help me, I wish I was wrong. Let me ask you a question, just a series of questions to lead you to what I would call a logical conclusion. Does prayer make a difference?
Yes.
Say yes if you really believe it.
Yes.
Does prayer make a difference?
Yes.
Does the church pray like it should?
No.
How in the world do we think God's in control? He can't even get you and me to do what we should. Now, I was about to say, you know, I don't care if it makes you uncomfortable. I do care if it makes you uncomfortable. But I think it's sloppy, lazy Christianity to say God's in control of situations that are just absurd. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? I'm looking at a situation. And what I say to myself is this: would this happen in heaven? God, bring your kingdom. God, bring your will. God, I bind this and I loose that. You run into another situation. Would this happen in heaven? Would this be going on this way in heaven? How many of you are following what I'm saying? No, it wouldn't. Well, then bless God, I have the keys. I'm going to go to work. How many of you ever stood with a bunch like this? Imagine if Brenda said, go to my house, it's locked, and go in and whatever. It would take me an hour and a half to get in the door. Because I had to, is it this one? Is it this one? And then I'd be like, oh man, which ones did I try? And I'd be all confused. Here's the deal. How many of you know there's a learning curve to prayer? What does that mean? I'm going to give you the keys. Say this with me. He gave me the keys.
He gave us the keys.
How dare we act like he's still holding them all? Oh, well, whatever God wants to happen is what happens. Are you serious? How many of you proved that wrong last week? How many of you did something last week you know God didn't want you to do? Raise your hand. Don't lie. Well, but God's in control, so how could you have done something he didn't want you to do? Now, please don't mistake, I got to say this. Do I believe God is sovereign? Absolutely sovereign. He is totally in charge. But from his place of authority, we just don't get this. From his place of authority, he said, I'm going to rule the earth, but temporarily, I'm going to do it through you. I'm going to rule the earth, but temporarily, I'm going to do it through you. Say yes if you're still here.
Yes.
Now, how many of you know that's a tricky little problem? The day is coming when the Lord's going to return and physically touch down on planet earth. And at that point in time, he will, I believe, take, in a sense, take back the keys. But until then, imagine God in heaven, and here's what he's saying. I'm going to rule there from here through you. I'm going to rule there from here through you. We are so much more than we realize. Why do you think life feels like one crisis after another? It's to keep your head down. It's to keep your head down. So you spend all your time fighting fires. Because the devil knows if you ever lift up your eyes from the place where you now are and you look to the north, to the south, to the east, and the west, you're going to realize God has territory for you to take. Here's the deal. I can't wave a magic wand and you never have any problems that you have to fight your way through. Here's what I'm recommending. In the midst of fighting fires, take some time to to lift up your eyes. Take some time to get away from the firefighting. Take some of your prayer time to put all that aside and say, Father, show me. Show me something new you want to do. Show me what my marriage could look like. Show me something. Give me a vision that excites my soul. It says of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set, God set some joy before me that makes it worth the cross. You follow me? If you don't have something out there you're excited about, you're not going to pay the price to get the prize. You follow me? You got to lift up your eyes. Now, let me give you just a few hopefully encouraging thoughts. I hope I punched you a little bit about praying in general, but go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. How'd you like to always know whether or not you're praying the will of God? Always know. Always know. Now, there's times you're not going to know for sure, but I'm going to tell you a way you can always know you're praying the will of God. 1 John 5. Anybody know what verse we're going to look at? Somebody might. 1 John 5, verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. This is, say confidence.
Confidence.
Another, you could, what would be some other words for confidence? Pardon me? Assurance, boldness, whatever. This is the confidence we have in him. That if we ask, say if I ask.
If I ask.
Here's the deal. How many of you believe God still wants to do some really cool stuff? Do you realize all the cool things God wants to do, and do you realize they have to pass through a little keyhole? If you ask. If you ask. How many of you know it takes a little bit of faith just to ask? How many of you know it takes a little bit of faith just to admit you want something? Because the minute you admit to yourself you want something, you could end up not getting it and being hurt. And you know what I think happens to a lot of us? We quit wanting because we're tired of being disappointed. And if the devil could shut down your wanter, you're not going to be much of a prayer. Because what fuels prayer is I want. I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done. So this is the confidence we have in him that if we ask, say if I ask.
If I ask.
Say it again.
If I ask.
If I ask. If I ask. Remember in Matthew 6, ask, seek, find. Guess what? Your part is about that big. His part's all the rest. I love this quote from Jack Hayford. Without him, we cannot. Without us, he will not. How many of you know there's a difference? Without him, we cannot. Without us, he will not. There are things God wants to loose in your community that he cannot loose, will not loose, if we don't ask, if we don't go after it. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything, say anything.
Amen.
Now, it qualifies it according to his will. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. How many of you know that's a pretty good deal? So, I can have confidence, boldness, assurance as I go into the presence of God. If I ask anything, how much does anything cover? Everything. If I ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. We know that we have the petitions, period. No, we're going to have the petitions that we asked for. That we asked for. Now, how in the world, and some of you are already where I want, where you know we're going. What's the only really sure way to know you're praying the will of God? Somebody yell at me. Pray His Word. Pray His Word. One of our children didn't get married till much later than she planned on. She got married at 35. Loved God, beautiful young lady, and it just didn't happen. How many of you know by 35, wants to be a mother all her life? Years ago, she received a prophecy from Bill Hammond, a very well-known prophet, and he said over this daughter the three M's, marriage, motherhood, ministry. Here she was, 30, 31, 32, and it ain't happening. And somewhere around in there, there was nothing on the horizon. I have to admit, every once in a while I'd be like, God. Gracious, I hope she doesn't hear this part. I was thinking like, God, is my daughter going to be living with us? I mean, I had one of my sisters. I have four sisters, the oldest of the seven of us. She never married. And I was like, is my daughter going to be like Pepper? Which she's gone on to be with the Lord, was a depressing thought. Now, how did I fight? How did I deal with that? I lifted up my eyes. And where did I take my eyes? I don't have a Bible up here, but I got it on my iPad. I took my eyes to what? Scripture. And you know where I went? Genesis 2:18. It's not good for man to be alone. And here's what I said. I said, God, I didn't say that. You said that. You said that the way you designed us, we function best when we're not alone. So here's a deal I want to make, and you let me know if it's okay. I'm going to pray my guts out. My wife and I are going to pray our guts out. 1 John 5:14, 15. This is the confidence that we have before you, that if we ask anything according to your will, God, it's in your word. Are you okay if I hold this verse up kind of ornery? Like, I want this. And here's what I said. God, if for some reason in your sovereign plan, it's not your best for this daughter to be married, then please, number one, right now, don't tell me that because I don't know if I can hear it. But I'm going to pray this prayer with confidence unless you tell me different. And I can't tell you how many times I'd go to pray for my daughter. And I would feel that fear creeping in. And then I'd hear the word come up. And I'd say, Father, you said, it's not good for man to be alone. I didn't say that, you did. I believe you're going to bring my daughter. Then he took me to Abraham. Wasn't it Abraham that sent his servant to go get a wife and all for Isaac? And a crazy story, you know, with the water at the well, and if she offers the water, give him water, I think. It's all this, I mean, it's this very involved story. And I'm sitting there reading it, and I'm thinking, what lengths God went to bring him his wife? What, listen now, not what lengths he went to, what lengths God went to. And you know what went off in my spirit? You're doing that for my daughter. You're doing that for my daughter. You're doing that for my daughter. And what was that do? What was that building in me? What comes by hearing? Faith. Were we confident we were praying God's will? Absolutely. And what was it? About 2 years later, we were doing a wedding. And it was so much fun. So much fun. So much fun. All right, one more thought. Luke chapter 10. Is that where I want to go? Yeah, let's go there. Luke chapter 10, real quick. We're done, sort of. Didn't you say like 12? All right, real quick. You know what? Forget reading it. How many of you know Mary and Martha? You know the story about Mary and Martha, all right? I want to provoke you a little bit here. So Mary, you know, you remember Mary and Martha. Jesus comes, he comes into the house. Martha's scurrying around doing all kinds of stuff. And Martha gets a little bit of an attitude. And she says, Jesus, time out here, dude. Why is my sister sitting on her butt doing nothing? Tell her to get up. Tell her to get off her butt and help me. What did Jesus say? Martha, Martha. Can't you just see him? Martha, Martha. He had to have a smile on his face. He had to. He had to just be watching her spin around the room. Martha, Martha, take a chill pill. Mary has chosen a good thing. Let's just leave her alone. Now, here's what I want to ask you as we wind up today, because I want you to catch something important about prayer. So I'm, you know, doing some things on prayer down at Seacoast, and the Lord provoked this thought in me. What if you came to me and asked me, in your prayer life, are you a Mary or a Martha? Are you a Mary or a Martha? Anybody want to guess what my answer would be? Yes. Because you ought to be both. Here's what I mean. Now, he said Mary's chosen the best part. He didn't say the only part. You follow me? He didn't say the only part. So here's how I look at prayer. Prayer should have, probably you could, this is oversimplifying, but prayer should have two big flows to it. One is receiving and engaging in relationship with God. The other is getting to work. Most people tend to do one or the other. You need to do both. The first part of your prayer time, we love him because he, say it better. We love him because he, you know what's the first thing you should do when you go to prayer? Father, thank you that you love me. Don't start telling him how you love him and I'm committed. No. Father, thank you that you love me and I receive your love. Because your word says we love you because you first loved us. And most Christians don't get that. The first part of our prayer life needs to be receiving, worshiping, enjoying, connecting. Then the second part, God, show me where you're at work, show me where the devil's at work, and show me where you want me to go to work. And let's go kick some devil booty. Let's go hurt something. My wife used to hate it when I say this, but I'll say it one more time. I hope to God the devil knows my name. I'd be pure ashamed if he doesn't know my name. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? They come to cast out devils. You know, Jesus we know, Paul we know. Who are you? I'm not the least bit afraid of the devil. I'm not the least bit afraid of the devil. The only way the devil can win and make progress is if we sit on our butts and do nothing. If we just halfway get up, he's done. He's done. Because we got all of these. The only power he has is to, number one, make you think you don't have them, and number two, keep you so busy putting out fires you don't use them. You got me? Let me pray for you. I hope you got something out of that. I hope you're either mad, glad, or sad, or something. Father, in Jesus' name, bless these wonderful people. Bless them, Father, with the pull of your spirit, with the joy of your vision. Father, bless them with the hunger to light fires, not just fight fires. And Father, I pray for this pastor and his wife and his team and his elders, just the wonderful people that are just drawn up into the vision of this church. And I pray for a fresh move of your spirit, a fresh hunger for you, a fresh hunger for your word, a fresh hunger for prayer. Father, I impart to them just a growling spirit that they would wake up looking for a fight. Just looking for a fight. And God, I pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this church, through this church, in this people, through this people, as it is in heaven. And we thank you for it, sir. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys.
Thank you, Chip.
Wow. You've been heavy all weekend.